Just a reminder, our podcast deals with crimes that are often violent and graphic in nature, so listener discretion is advised. So when in doubt, leave the kids out. Now, please let us take you back in time.
Hello, Old Time Crime Gal listeners and friends. It's Melissa here with my friend
Shannon,
back for another episode.
Yes. So who are we talking about today?
Today we're going to bring it back a little bit and go a little old school to talk about Christina Cecilia Mokon.
We're going with that. You know, we are Southern, and so...
Yeah, this one takes place in Canada.
Our accents.
Way up from us. Yes, we have those Southern accents.
That might not say the name right, but it's spelled M-O-C-O-N.
Yes, Polish immigrant, but that her married name is pretty cool. It is... Kettlewell.
Ooh.
That I can say.
I like that. I like kettle corn.
I do like kettle corn.
Kettlewell. Maybe you cook kettle corn in a kettlewell.
In a kettlewell.
I don't know. Sounds interesting.
Not making
kettle corn out of the kettlewell.
Oh, man.
Maybe that's a new business. I can call my kettle corn business Kettlewell.
Trademark it. Go ahead. There you go. Get it now off the ground.
So that's her married name.
Yes. So she married an Army veteran, John Ray Kettlewell, who they call him Jack. So we're going to call him Jack.
Ooh, Jack Kettlewell. I like that.
But so Christina was born on August 7th, 1925. So like I said, we're bringing it back a little bit. Her dad's name was Casimir.
Oh, wow. These are some cool Casimir names. Casimir
and Mary. So they're Polish immigrants. So by the time she's 22, she's working at a bank, and she's been dating her friend Jack for a good while, for about 3 years. Now,
time to put a ring on it.
Yes, that's coming up soon. But her parents didn't really approve of him.
Was he not Catholic? Maybe?
I don't know. Well, they were devout Catholics, but he had, like, this weird relationship with his best friend. Now, in the beginning when I was reading it, it kind of sounded like you watch Psych. If you've ever watched Psych, like, Sean and Gus, they're a package deal. Yes, like, they go back and forth. Like, they are a bromance, if you want to call it.
Yes, like, two peas in a pod.
Right, but that's also, like, comedic and, like, a little bit more modern to be that close with your friends. And, like, this was in the 40s. Yeah. So that was a little weird that they were, like, always hanging out. Like, he would go on their dates with his friend.
No. Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious.
Nah.
So they were, like, really, really, really close. And he was from Italy.
Did
she
not put a stop to that? I would have been like, nah, he can't go.
Well, it gets a little worse.
So he was from Italy. So maybe he was there.
I mean,
maybe he was the entourage. Maybe he was the protection to crime. I don't know.
But Christina's family didn't really approve of Jack. Because he wasn't a Catholic. I got you now.
Okay.
You were reading ahead of me. Oh. But they
I just saw that she was Catholic, devout. So yeah. I figured if there was a reason not to like him, it was because he wasn't Catholic.
Yeah, so exactly.
I got
a bad feeling from his room. It was his roommate and his best friend, Ronald. So this guy, Ronald, was immigrated to Canada from Italy. And he, like... couldn't hold a steady job. He had all these different jobs. He sold insurance. He, like, worked in woodworking, like, construction, sold it, you know, was a hairdresser, a ballroom dancer. I mean, like, you got, like, different.
Wow. He had a resume.
And usually you see job hopping as not a good thing, but, I mean, it could be like, I mean, I positioned hopped. Let me put it that way. I was at the same company for multiple years, but within every 6 to 8 months, I was changing my position. I was learning this area, that area, that
that's
area,
different
and like going all the way around, but I really was staying consistent with the same company.
I think that's kind of different than...
Because I got bored. Easy.
Right. And that may be what he might have had, like an underlying, he might have been ADHD, or he just got bored. But here's the thing. Especially back in the 40s, you need to establish some consistency, a foundation, especially in the 40s, being a man.
Yeah.
To build... you know, a future on
and
with
to
your
provide
family.
For your family.
Yes, exactly. And not to mention...
they didn't have that mentality of, hey, your wife can earn just as much as you can.
Yeah, and they came through... So she was born in 20... I was just thinking about the depression.
Yeah, 25. Yeah,
well, came through the depression. And so, I mean, you really need to, like, be able to pick yourself up by your bootstraps and have a foundation and be able to carry
on. A good work ethic.
Yeah, work ethic was huge. I mean, So if you didn't have that back then, it didn't matter what kind of personality, you just needed to have that in the 40s especially. So
not only were they a little bit concerned about his, like, work history was a little bit like, eh,
but that's
everywhere.
That's the friend. Okay.
But, like, he was spending so much time with, like, all three of them were together all the time.
Okay.
So it wasn't really just, like, her and Jack. It was her, Jack, and his roommate all the time. And
now,
of course,
she worked for a bank.
She did.
Do I sense a robbery of any kind?
No, nothing like that.
I don't know the
Again,
story.
Again, she doesn't
As
know
usual.
The story, but my computer is out.
I like speculating, too.
Well, there's a lot of speculation at this one because it's unsolved.
Oh.
So we don't know what happened. We don't
okay.
know what happened. But,
I don't even
but
know.
But what we do know is that her parents were not happy with as much time as his friend Ronald was spending with their daughter in this supposed relationship with Jack. And so, of course, they did what every parent would want to do and say, you can't see him anymore.
But she was 22.
Right.
Right. And had her own job.
Yes.
So let me ask you this. Did Jack, you may have said this, did he have a job?
He was an Army veteran.
Okay.
That's where I'm at right now okay. on this story.
But do you know if he had a job?
I imagine he did.
Okay, so we don't know.
Somewhere.
For sure. Okay, go ahead.
Somewhere.
All right.
You'd think I know by now
questions.
What you're going to ask me, and
it's
I just
okay.
don't know.
It's okay. I'm just thinking, you know, he needed some foundation.
If anyone wants a free job that doesn't pay anything and wants to do more research for me, they can. Email me.
I'm very grateful.
But
I like spicing it up with questions.
Yes. So, mom, shaking her finger, dad,
I can
saying,
see
you
it.
You can't hang out with him anymore.
No, yes.
But you know that has the opposite effect.
It does.
So not only was she like, okay, I'm 22, or, you know, whatever.
So did she move out?
She just didn't come home. She just go over to stay at their apartment and just not come home anymore.
Okay.
Which, I mean, she's an adult, technically.
Right.
But
she don't want money from my wallet.
Yeah. She spent so much time over there that her sister even went to go and try and convince her to come back home.
Okay.
And then they got into a screaming match, and they like the cops got called.
Oh, wow.
Because
okay.
it was just so, like, not doing it. But see, they thought, like, the friend spending so much time with them, like, maybe he was really in love with her, and, like, it was kind of a jealousy thing,
okay.
and, like, he wanted to kind of be in the mix all the time. I don't know.
Gotcha.
Or but that's
just,
why they
he
had
might
a
have had a control, like, he had the controlling personality and wanted to be in control and dominate.
So this is a picture of, and I'll put it up, but it's a picture of both of them.
Okay.
Hanging out. And she was really pretty.
Yeah, she's very, not a good old picture. I like old pictures. She'll put those up on the website, I guess.
And on Facebook, too. So keep in mind, so guys, we have a challenge for you. We only need 14 more people on our Facebook group before you get a live from us.
Yes.
So share and join. And, of course, like we were talking about, you know, mom and dad said, you can't hang out with them. And she just said, nope, I'll do it anyway. So then that fight broke out. And then a couple of days later, they get married.
Okay, so.
So they eloped. So May 12th, 1947, they get married. So that's Christina and Jack Kettlewell. So then they go back to the apartment that Ronald also stays in for
okay.
a few nights. And then they go on honeymoon. So on May 17th, they go to their honeymoon to a cottage in Severn Falls, Ontario, which the cottage was owned by the friend Ronald.
So somehow he made
so
money.
He all of that hairdressing and ballroom dancing teaching stuff. I mean, he owned a cottage.
Side hustling, it sounds like.
Yes. So that was a 2-hour drive from the apartment, but it was like isolated and only reachable by boat. It was in like a really remote area. Again, don't know the area. Severn Falls sounds romantic, but he was also joining them on their honeymoon. So I don't know why he needed to come along.
No, she was too lenient.
But so Ronald comes to swing, and he's there.
Interesting.
Yes.
And the fact that he had money. I mean, he had to have had some money somehow because...
I mean, they look like they're nicely dressed and...
To own a place that you could go on a honeymoon, and
yep.
unless it was a shack.
Well,
and
it, was
then
a
to
small,
have
it was a small cabin. We'll see a picture of that coming up too. And thanks True Crime Files for all the documentation that they've done. So it's found it all in one place. We'll put it up on the Facebook page. So yes, so he goes along on the honeymoon. So on May 20th, so they got married
May
on the 17th. They got married on the 12th.
12th, okay.
Head to the cottage on the 17th. They've been there for a few days, so on the 20th. So Ronald decides to leave and go like on this sunbathing boat trip, get out of the house for a couple hours.
Just him.
Just him. Just the friend.
Okay.
But when he comes back and makes it back at 6:30, the cottage is on fire.
Oh.
The cabin's on fire.
Okay.
So from what he says, and his story changes, mind you, he says he runs in, burning cottage, you know, frantically searches for Jack and Christina, calls out their names, runs from room to room. He finds Jack in the living room, slipping in and out of consciousness with this big gash on his head.
Okay.
He's like, you know, slipping in and out of it. He's bleeding from his head. He can't find Christina. So, like, the neighbors are all coming out to see what's going on, and everybody's trying to get buckets of water because they're out in their near lake.
So, there are neighbors.
To try to put this thing out, and he takes Jack to the emergency room.
But he didn't find...
He didn't find Christina.
Okay.
So, at one point, he said he was, like, shaking Jack and, like, where is she? You know, where's she at? And he just so disoriented and, like, out of it that he didn't know what was happening.
Okay.
And so, he just, like... got him to safety, and then left empty-handed. So then the neighbors were working on putting out the fire, and he took Jack to the hospital. But, like, within 1 hour, the whole cottage was, like, destroyed. So it's not very big.
Right, but there's a picture, and yeah. It's showing so it in front of the lake. That's still, you had to have, you know, be able to afford that, and...
So the picture we're looking for is from the Toronto Star. But so yes, the cottage was burned to like there's nothing left within an hour.
Very interesting.
So then Christina was actually found by a neighbor who's out there trying to help, face down in a riverbank in 9 inches of water. 150 feet from the cottage, so not very far. She was barefoot and in her pajamas.
Okay. Drowned, did we know what time Ronald went out? It didn't say what time
he went out. It didn't say he went out, but he went, he came back at 6:30 and said he was gone for a couple of hours.
6:30
p.m.
p.m. So if he was gone for a couple of hours and they were in their pajamas in the afternoon that late. I know, interesting.
Okay. It didn't say Jack was in his pajamas.
Just her. Okay.
So, Jack got treated at the hospital for head injury, obviously, because he was bleeding from his head. He, burns, okay. Shock. So, obviously, he was in the house. The house was on fire. It's a small house, so he had burns. But they did blood test results. So, he had an excessively large amount of codeine in his system.
Interesting.
Which is probably why he couldn't remember anything past 11 a.m.
Okay.
So he said he could, I mean, he was questioned for 3 hours. They were like, what the crap was happening? What's going on? He had no idea what happened past 11 o'clock.
Wow. Okay. So I wonder if he was drugged.
Well, I mean, he had to have the codeine in his system somehow.
Yeah.
But she was tested and she had trace amounts of codeine in her system.
Okay.
The same kind that he had, but not as much.
Interesting. Okay.
So you've got a massive amount of codeine in his system, very little bit in hers.
And she's found face down.
She's found face down dead. But she didn't have any burns, no smoke damage, and there was nothing in her lungs. No damage to her lungs. So she wasn't in the cottage when it became on fire. She was probably already, she was in pajamas.
Yeah.
She was probably already in the riverbank.
Okay.
Before the house caught on fire.
Okay. But, and if she wasn't a user of any kind of substances, anything, you think about if you're not, you know, she might have been able to pass out or whatever, even with a small amount if she never took anything or did anything.
Right.
So Trace's amount for her may be significant.
So on June 19th, 1947, so a formal inquest, I guess the Canadian's version of investigation,
mm-hmm.
Began. So then they're trying to figure out, like, what has happened.
So Jack lived?
Yes.
Okay.
He was treated at the hospital for just the gash on his head.
That's right. He couldn't remember anything.
Shock and burns. And he couldn't remember anything.
Got it.
But to this day, no one knows what happened.
Interesting.
So there's a couple of theories going on out there, and we'll talk about that in just a second. All right, so there's a bunch of conspiracies about what actually happened because it is still unsolved, so they don't know what happened. Thoughts?
I mean, my thoughts were maybe that Jack, you know, might have given her some medicine and knocked her out. And then, because she still had her pajamas on. And he doesn't remember anything after 11, which would make sense why she has her pajamas on. Mm-hmm. And then maybe he took medicine to be knocked out later. I don't know. But then the friend goes off on a boat ride not till like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's just, all of it's fishy. And there's
all of it.
Yeah, you would think he wouldn't want to burn down his own place unless they were trying to hide something. So, are the theories?
So there's some things that just...
Did I do one of the theories?
You did. We're looking at this picture here talking about it. So there's a picture of Jack with his friend in the background, and they're literally signing autographs like they're celebrities.
And they're smiling.
During the investigation.
Yeah. So, right there, I don't think I want to name my business Kettle Well.
But one, they'll Google it and be like, no. So one of the theories is that Christina committed suicide. Again, a little weird because she had codeine in her system like he did too. Like I
don't buy that one.
So there was reports. Again, the only person who has these reports, who has seen any of this, is Ronald, the friend, said that during the honeymoon when they were at the cottage, she would often be moody and emotional and uncommunicative and, like, just in a catatonic state and then weeping uncontrollably and constantly questioning whether Jack really loved her and just all this just stuff that he was kind of hinting at that she was mentally unstable.
So here's my thing.
But again, Jack he doesn't remember any of that. And you're in you saw how tiny that cottage was.
Right.
With three people for days. And like, how could you cry off by yourself somewhere?
Okay, I'm going to tell you why I would be moody and emotional. It's because he brought his friend.
I'm moody and emotional because you need to go home.
I mean, she's probably thinking, I'm finally marrying him, so he's going to choose me instead of hanging out with a friend. Yeah. So that just doesn't make any sense. So, no. And then she didn't have much in her system. So it's almost like somebody tried to give it to her, maybe. Or maybe the friend, Ronald, gave it to both of them.
Well, the friend claims that he kept her odd behavior a secret from Jack because he didn't want to ruin his friend's honeymoon.
I'm sorry. Her odd behavior, her husband's going to know.
Your being there already ruins the honeymoon.
And if her husband didn't realize that she was not happy about it, he wasn't a good husband to begin with because he should have known that she was upset or they should have been close. I mean...
So not only do you have that, you have Ronald saying that she's crying and she's moody and she's like got these thoughts about if Jack really loves her, blah, blah, blah. He finds letters. So during the investigation, inquest, whatever you want to call it, there's these letters that surface up. So the first letter was like dated April 6th, Easter Sunday. This is 5 weeks before the wedding.
Okay.
She writes that she had attempted suicide by poison, explaining that this will be the best way out as I cannot bear the thought of another girl having him. Talking about Jack. Again, Ronald is the only one who has these letters.
Yes.
So, and they're handwritten.
I wonder if they've proved, if they showed it. Okay.
So the second letter also was written to Ronald, and it was penned before Jack proposed. So in this letter, she had tried to kill herself and Jack by poisoning their food.
And she wrote this down.
So she wrote, this is in quotes, so quote, "When you love someone, you really love him. And I know there is no one for me but Jack. And if I cannot have him, I don't intend anyone else to. As you might say, I've waited in the hope that Jack would ask me to marry him, but now I realize that I might just be a passing fancy," unquote. But then he did eventually propose. They did get married.
Right.
But she lived with him. Jack remembers getting sick around the same time this letter was written.
Okay.
But it also could be part of a elaborate backstory that Ronald is coming up with. Because why not, if I have this letter and he's like, oh yeah, man, I was sick. Maybe Ronald poisoned Jack during that time frame line up with this letter that's supposed to be from Christina, who now can't say it's from me because I'm dead.
That's right.
So,
Ronald could be in this together.
Well, we have seen more elaborate things like with Liz and that Karen chick where she spent years stalking herself. Oh, remember she burned her own house down. That was a good one. Like burned her own house down to cover her.
Yes.
So then there's a third letter. So this third letter is addressed to the landlady that an apartment she stayed in, which I'm not really close with anybody that I pay rent to. Like, I don't know why you would address a heartfelt letter to somebody like that. But anyway, it states that it was supposed to be, like, written the day of. And it says, quote, Ronnie is in the boat outside somewhere. By the time he gets back, everything will be all over with. He must be afraid something would happen because he is staying an extra day to make sure we go back to Toronto with him, unquote. Which sounds like it's almost too perfect to set it up.
Right, that's right. That does sound
good. But, I mean, if they're authentic and these letters really were from her, then, I mean, that's obviously intent to do something.
True.
And then they had a handwriting expert confirm that they were written by her. But we're in the 40s. Handwriting analysis.
Right.
Is it a funky science? Is it not? Some people say, like, blood splatter. I mean, you could, million different ways you can interpret blood splatter sometimes. So people think it's like a phony pseudoscience thing.
Right.
Yeah, pseudoscience. So in 2019, they looked into
forensic
handwriting analysis and found that although the form of evidence has been used in courts, its standing is relatively weak. And it's based on, like, opinion and practice. So it's, like, a less reliable form. Like, they don't really, it's not ironclad that she wrote those. I mean, he could know what her handwriting looks like and tried to copy it.
That's right.
So, and he's the only one who has the letters. He's the only one who produced the letters. And we just don't know. So I think they're a part of a setup.
And as close as he is to Jack, he would have told Jack about the letters.
Yeah, and I mean, he could have known Jack got sick. And he's like, okay, I'm going to say this is what happened. And that's why he was sick. And
right.
And then he'd be like, oh, yeah, I remember that. I mean, who knows?
All right, so that's two different ones?
Well, that's one theory.
One, the suicide, okay.
And this was all building up to something that had happened, and maybe she had done it. But I just don't, I don't know why she would tell her landlady that, like, right, this is it, and this is how it's going to happen. He must know something's going down. I'm sending it to my landlady.
And how did the landlady, how was she supposed to get it?
Yeah,
being out on the island.
But to me, I don't buy those stories.
I don't either. They look too happy. When y'all see that autograph picture where they're autographing.
Like, they just look too.
Yes, that was just.
That, and then, like, so during the inquest, like, his story changed. First, it was, remember, he came from the boat. He went inside. He shook Jack, tried to find Christina, couldn't find her, left with Jack. And then it turned into, you know, I ran inside the burning building, and, like, Christina was standing over Jack. Like, she had hit him with something. And then, how could she be standing over him if they found her in the river bin? Like,
so he changed.
So where
into
was
that.
She at? You
right.
know,
right. That's right.
So I mean, like, was he really an honest person? Like, it's not something like you misremembered a step and said, "No, no, wait, this, I remember this is what happened."
You
and you're adding one or two details. You're adding whether or not a person was there right. versus not a person there.
When you come in, you see her standing over a body. That's different yeah. than them finding her later at the water.
So, it's really crazy. So then, obviously, I don't think she did it herself. So, was she murdered? That's the next question. So, when you come to murder, you come to, like, what are the motives of murder?
Right.
Love, money, usually. So, there's this thing that her parents had always thought that Ronald maybe had, like, a secret love for her, and that's why he was always so close. But, so Jack confesses to the police that his relationship with his friend Ronald was more of an intimate relationship, but then he backtracks, and then, like, all of Jack's family and even Ronald's family and friends thought they just assumed because they were so close that, like, why is he getting married to her? Because he has him. So
right.
is it one of those
kind of relationships?
Yeah.
Back in the 40s.
I mean, so that was uncommon. That was unheard of. It's just who knows?
Ronald would be jealous then.
Right.
Okay.
But so then it turns into money. So Ronald has money troubles. So killing Christina benefits him financially.
He could have sold the cottage at the lake.
Well. So first, before he married Christina, Jack took out two $5,000 life insurance policies on himself and Christine.
Okay.
That's normal behavior. I have one on myself. My husband has one on him. We're both each other's beneficiaries. If something happens to one of us, the other one has stuff to, you know, be taken care of. That's usually how it works. In this case, both beneficiaries were Ronald.
Now, that's sketchy. Is it Jack that took it out, or was it Ronald that took it
Jack
out?
Jack took out the policies, but the beneficiary of both was Ronald.
That's That's kind of sketchy.
Now, and $5,000 back then was really like $65,000.
Yes.
And so, and then a lot of times these insurance policies have like a double indemnity clause.
Okay.
So if your death was accident or murder or something of unnatural occurrences, they would double the money.
Okay.
So now he's not looking at $5,000, he's looking at $10,000. Oh. So now we're into like 120 some thousand.
Wow.
And that's just for one. So what did he intend to kill both? And maybe Jack just survived the fire?
Right.
Or then he... Because
he had more drugs in his system.
He had more drugs in his system. But also the cottage. Ronald took out an insurance policy on the cottage. So that if anything happened to the cottage, he named Jack the beneficiary. But then if something happened to Jack...
Then he got
Jack's estate all went to Ronald.
Okay.
Christine wasn't listed in any of it. So when it's all said and done, Ronald gets everything.
Yes. Christina didn't get anything. She was in none of the
right. She was in nothing. She was in nothing. So Ronald was Jack's primary beneficiary in the will. So Jack's family was left with nothing. Mm-hmm. Everything went to Ronald. And then Christina's expensive wedding ring. So apparently they've had money rolling in somewhere because she had a really nice ring. She wasn't wearing it.
Okay.
But again, if she was
in the water,
in suicide about my marriage, maybe she took it off before she decided to kill herself. But
could have, yes.
Or it could have just been taken because of monetary gain.
But there's no proof of anybody selling it that we know of.
That we know of.
Very interesting. Ronald is like. It looks like he was trying to do something because they were both drugged and he had no drugs in his system that they know of because he didn't get tested.
But then, probably. But then was Jack part of it? Did he agree to get himself dosed up with codeine? Maybe the gash on the head was like something Ronald added extra to make the story more believable. Or maybe he tried to kill him and it just didn't. Or...
I don't know. Like, that's what it...
No one really knows what happened, but obviously no one got arrested because they couldn't prove anything.
Right.
So, on May 26, 1947, her funeral was held in the same church she was married in, like, 2 weeks prior.
Wow. How sad.
Yeah. So, her family, of course, never recovered from the loss. No one really does when their loved ones are taken away so early.
Especially a child that she tried so hard with.
But 3 years later, Jack remarries.
Okay.
But never tells his new wife.
Oh.
His new wife about Christina or the death or anything that happened. So they have a family,
uh-huh.
But then they separate in 1969, but they never actually officially got divorced. They just separate.
Okay.
But his son married a woman named Sharon who just loves family trees and genealogy and archives. And she's like, huh. She digs down into his family history and finds up all this stuff. But they never asked him about it. He was older. He was in poor health. They didn't want to... uncover, make him upset about stuff that they...
Right.
From way back in the day, and he ended up passing away without him knowing that they knew about
who he was.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then Ronald. So, in Ronald, he shows up out of nowhere in 1956 and gives, like, this Pekingese dog to Jack's two-year-old, and then he just, like, disappears. Like, hey, here's a dog, have fun, and then just, like, poof, be gone.
That's weird.
So, it actually is still unsolved. It's a cold case, and if you have any information about it for all our listeners in Canada and around, you can let the Ontario Provincial Police know at 1-888-310-1122, or Crime Stoppers. So, they're still trying to figure out what in the world happened to Christina.
If anybody had time, it'd be interesting to talk to the people on the island. Or did it say? It didn't say anything about the parents or... Okay. Mm-hmm. That is very interesting.
Well, I mean, they didn't charge anybody and everybody went on about with their lives, but I don't know.
I'm sure the autographs, I think, at
the very most, Ronald definitely was behind something. Those letters were not hers. And I think that he did it. He killed her. But did Jack know? Or did he just dope him up and hit him on the head and may have, like, he has no clue what happened.
I wonder if he really planned to kill him.
But it didn't work
out. That's what I'm thinking now that you said that.
And then
that
he was
Jack
like,
well,
I got to take him to the hospital.
Yes. Especially when the neighbors were coming and bringing water. And
trying
to
put out the fire, right. And then he was still there.
Yes. Because, I mean,
And then it's like, I feel bad I tried to kill you. Here's a dog for your kid. See you later.
Years later.
The guilt's being, here's a Pekingese, have fun.
I think probably Jack was just, had been friends with him for so long, he believed him, and, you know, who knows about the drugs in their system? Because it's just fishy that they have the drugs in their system, and then
he just leaves.
And they had to have been incapacitated before he left on the boat. I mean, something crazy.
Yeah.
And then maybe he set something for fire to...
You know, wears off after a couple of hours. Depending on how much you had.
They had to have already been knocked out or something. I don't know. It's definitely a mystery, that's for sure. But he's sketchy. That wasn't a 1940s word, but hey.
Sketchy. Sus. I think the word now is sus. I don't know. We're old. I don't keep up with the kid lingo. My niece comes up with these words sometimes. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Sus.
Because, man, slang, it changes so much.
It does. And it'll come back to the old school.
What? Bussin' is a word now.
Bussin' is a word. I heard that a couple weeks ago. Bussin'. They're bussin'.
One of the pre-K students at my school said that.
Hopefully that's not a bad word.
No, it means it's good. It means it's like, bussin'. Yeah, it's bussin'.
Oh, cool.
Like, hopefully our podcast is bussin', guys.
Yeah. I'm going to be carin' when I leave here, not bussin'.
Be car. Oh, puns.
Hey, everybody's going to get our age one day.
That's all right. It's coming. If you're not there yet, be prepared. It's no fun.
I love life, though. Yeah. But this is that was a very interesting one. And it doesn't, I don't think suicide on her part. Definitely not.
And with the letters being handwritten but not being able to be authenticated and that Ronald was the only one who had them, I'm sorry, but if I married somebody whose best friend tagged along always, would I be, like, willing to write you my guts and tell you my darkest secrets? I'd be mad you would always be around.
And not only that, she was hoping they could get married and then he would finally be her husband and Ronald would leave. I know that's what she had to
do. I guess, I don't know if he just tagged along on the honeymoon because it was his house and he wanted to make sure they didn't, like, steal anything. Who knows?
Who knows? But it's definitely an odd setup.
Because they didn't stay best friends after the fact. That's like he disappeared. Something, like he showed up, gave him a dog, and left again.
Something didn't.
So dive. I think he tried to kill Jack, and it just didn't work out. And then he panicked when other people were coming, and was like, "I'm a hero. I got to go get Jack to the hospital."
And Jack found another wife, and he's like, "You're not going to mess with her." I don't know. Definitely an interesting story, but definitely go check out the pictures because they tell.
I will make a point to actually put these on.
Oh, sorry. But I mean, the one where they're signing autographs just kind of gets me.
That one girl looking at the camera like she looks like she.
Yeah, y'all need to check that out. That is definitely interesting. Makes you second guess everything.
Well, I mean, and nowadays, like we were talking about that beforehand in our break, that we, for some reason, I mean, obviously, we're drawn to true crime. We like listening to these stories and we tell them. But then there's people who like. Our own Chris Watts has a fan club. Like, people that constantly write to him, and he's a family annihilator. Like, what is wrong with you people?
Right.
If you're one of those people, what's wrong with you?
Yes. Not.
Hopefully none of our listeners are like
please
that.
Please don't if you want to be that way.
Well, what were you just reading? A headline about podcasters who got killed?
Yeah, that's a recent one.
Yeah, so. True crime podcasters who got stalked and killed.
Well, I don't know
killed.
If they were true crime, but I know they were podcasters.
Well, anyway,
sure.
Now they fit in that category. We're going to talk about them one day. Just craziness. There's 120,000 cold cases in the United States. There are like 70 in our town. Did you realize there was that many?
I knew there was a lot.
70.
That is a lot.
Unsolved homicides. And they don't go back that far.
No, they don't.
Because we're popping them off every week now, apparently. But 70.
That's a lot.
That seems like an extreme amount of cold cases.
I think so.
But I also heard today we're short like 50 cops.
Yes. I think everywhere is. It's definitely a sad time. So you have to watch your back.
Craziness.
Be careful.
But anyway, that's our show for this
Thanks
week,
for joining us.
Time. Whatever you want to call it.
It was fun.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Join our Facebook group. We need like 14 more people and we'll do a live.
And you see Melissa.
Yes, and with my purple hair and everything.
Yeah, just Melissa.
No, you agreed last time. I have it on audio.
Oh,
it's a binding verbal contract.
Do you need voice analysis to make sure it's mine? I will be there too.
Hey, that's kind of like that Paul, the Murdochs. Yeah, we're going to talk about maybe we'll talk about the Murdochs on live.
Okay,
maybe.
I don't know.
Because that's a big thing going on right now, trial that just ended.
Yes.
But anyway, so we love that you listened. Please come again, binge us, whatever, share, tell your friends. Send us an email, oldtimecrimeguys@gmail.com. And just remember,
if you do the crime, it's going to catch up with you in time.
And we'll talk about it. Until next time.